Good day to you. Bernie Miklos back for another show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for the support. Please subscribe if you're checking us out and if you watch a video. And if you like it, hit the thumbs up button. We would appreciate it very, very much. Well, the Cardinals, gosh almighty, what a clunker in Cincinnati on Monday night. Sonny Gray giving up 3 home runs, getting bombed out of there. The Cardinals offense from the fourth, this is just, you see these numbers, and at times I'm like, nah, that can't be right. And then I go back and check, and they're right. You know, from in the final 6 innings of that game last night, the Cardinals offense, 1 for 20. Again, I just double checked. I'm like, did I see that right? Yeah, 1 for 20 over the final 6 innings with 6 strikeouts. They left the bases loaded twice. They couldn't hit left-handed starting pitcher Andrew Abbott of the Reds, and what else is new there? And the Cardinals just aren't good. You know, we keep thinking, well, you know, when they won 2 games, 2 in a row over Texas, right? We think, well, that's pretty impressive the way they bounced back, and here they come, and hey, they can still do this. And I understand that. I understand why people want it to happen and want to hold out some hope that it will happen. But every time they get us thinking that way, maybe just a little bit of optimism, reality crashes. And reality crashes and hits us hard. Here's all you need to know. Listen, the Cardinals, as we know from May 12th, started a 51-game stretch where they were 33-18. So over that time, they did have the best record in the National League and one of the top 3 or 4 in all of the majors. But if you look back on it, starting pitching was really good. The Cardinals were winning a lot of close games because the bullpen was just bulletproof for the most part. And the Cardinals were, you know, winning a lot of 1-run games, 2-run games, whatever, you know, and just shutting things down late in games. And I'm not in any way trying to say, well, that was a fluke, or, you know, they didn't deserve the respect or the plaudits. Of course they did. When you win 33 out of 51, you've done a good job. So that was the best record in baseball. But if you remember, of course, before May 12th, the Cardinals were 15-24. Is that right? Yeah, they were 15-24. So you have a team that was really, really bad before that stretch. The stretch came looking good. And then starting with that July 10th doubleheader against the Royals in St. Louis, that was the end of the hot streak. And here's the deal. Since July 10th, again, that doubleheader against Kansas City is where it began. It was right after the 33-18 streak. The Cardinals are 12-17. And they have, their winning percentage is 13th in the National League over that time. So they went from being, before the hot streak, they were, I think, 13th or 14th in winning percentage through May 11th in the National League. They had the hot streak, and then after the hot streak, now here they are again, 12-17 in a winning percentage that ranks 13th since July 10th. So I would submit to you, what is the reality? I would have to say the reality is what they've done before and after the streak. You know, you eventually find your level. And even if you think maybe I'm being a little too harsh or whatever, I'll say this part about it. They weren't as good as they appeared to be in 33-18. Now, I think the before and the after that streak, you know, has kind of kind of validated that point of view, if you will. And there's just not much going on. And I can hit you with a lot of stats, and I will a couple, but just to tell you the difference. When the Cardinals were winning 33 out of 51 games, they ranked 5th in the majors with a 3.67 ERA. Wow. That tells us a lot, doesn't it? Well, since then, right, during this 12-17 stretch, their ERA as a team is 4.88, which ranks 22nd. So the offense has shut down again. The offense can't hit left-handed pitching. The offense can't get an important hit with runner in scoring position when they need it. They fail way too often, and they're one of the worst teams, as you know, statistically in the majors at hitting with runners in scoring position. They're not so hot hitting with runners on base either. The defense has been fine for the most part. The bullpen, as we know, has really kind of hit on some hard times. They're not as seemingly invincible as they were during that 33-18 streak. And the starting pitching has not been very good. One stat for you, if you go back to June the 18th, right? The Cardinals starting pitching ERA is over 5 runs per game. So again, pardon my redundancy. Starting pitching's fallen apart. The bullpen has become very vulnerable. The offense gets shut down by left-handers and cannot get a big hit. Well, they fail to get big hits a lot. And on and on and on and on. So I'm not sure why, and I do it too. I'm guilty. I'm not sure why we think that somehow this team's going to catch fire and make a run. What is it about them that you've seen that tells you that they're capable of doing that? Now, if their pitching was still really good and their, you know, the starting pitching was as good as it was earlier in the season, if the bullpen was as good as it was earlier in the season, and the offense was, you know, cashing in runners from scoring position, you could say, well, listen, some things are really clicking. Things are going really well. So, you know, this looks like a team that can put something together. But none of that is happening. All those categories I just cited, man, everything, the arrow is pointing down, right? And it's kind of a bummer just to see how they've reverted back to their early season form. So, listen, are they in the race? Of course, they're a game and a half out of the third wild card spot, but they've also got teams behind them that are gaining on them. Like, for example, the Cubs are a game and a half behind the Cardinals. The Reds are now, I think, 2 games behind the Cardinals. If it's 3, forgive me. But the point is the Reds are creeping up on them. So the Cardinals have more teams in front of them to get to that third wild card spot, and they've got teams to the rear that are chasing him down and threatening to surpass them. So it's a little misleading to just say, well, they're only in a game and a half out. They can do that. Well, yeah, if they were playing really good ball, if they were pitching well, they were hitting well, they were strong and strong and strong again in the bullpen, and they were getting timely hits, I agree. They could chase anybody down, at least in terms of the wild card. But I think we talk ourselves into this, and I know I use a lot of numbers, but that's the whole point. I think it's important to be grounded in reality here. And listen, man, I ain't trying to take away anybody's desire to maintain some optimism. I'm not trying to be, you know, the grouch here. I'm just saying, it's like my days when I used to go to the racetrack as a young Bernie in the state of Maryland. And you just look at the horses before you're trying to decide who's going to win the 8th race at Pimlico, right? And you look at the recent form and you see, well, wait a minute. Now, this horse at distance really, his last few times out, has kind of lagged. It has kind of ran out of gas. And I can't trust this horse at this distance, even though maybe 3 months ago it actually was winning some longer distance races, but it's gone off form, so I can't bet on that horse. I got to look for something else. It's the same principle here. If the Cardinals were a horse and I went to the betting windows, play along with me, I couldn't put money on them to get to the playoffs right now. I really couldn't. I don't know. It's just turning into another bummer of a season, and we'll talk about that. What does it mean for the future? What does it mean for the front office? What is Bill DeWitt, if anything, going to do? Is Ali Marmol, if they fall out of contention and continue to just, you know, yak it up, is his job going to be in any kind of jeopardy? How in the heck, if they miss the playoffs, if in their really bad form, in other words, they play really lousy and lose a lot of games down the stretch, what's going to be the motivation for fans to buy tickets? The fans that have been staying away. Listen, Cardinals fans are great. The support is still really good, but it's not what it used to be. That's because people are ticked off at ownership management, the moves they've made, the moves they haven't made, so on and so forth. So the Cardinals are setting themselves up for a real downer of a season. And yeah, I guess in this video today, I'm kind of like Doug Downer, but I'd rather be honest about it. I'd rather speak in a straightforward manner rather than telling the eternal optimist what they want to hear. I don't have much use for happy talk when a team's not doing, pretty much not doing anything well, except perhaps playing defense. I don't see any reason to live in a fantasy world. So, you know, and even some of the offseason moves, you know, in retrospect, listen, the Cardinals starting pitching is better than it was last year, but can we call a timeout here? Last season, the Cardinals starting pitching had a 5.08 ERA. In a full season, that was the worst starting pitching ERA in franchise history, okay? So my point being, you signed Gray and Lynn and Gibson, and it's impossible not to be better than they were last year, right? You can't do any worse than that. So common sense tells you you will be better in 2024 after bringing in these starting pitchers. But if you look at the Cardinals now and their starting pitching ERA, I think it's 4.45, they rank like 23rd in the majors. That's not good. Sorry, it's just not. That's not good. It's better than being the worst as they were last year, but that doesn't mean that it is good. And how about Sonny Gray? This dude has got some really, really bad road splits. Like if you look at him at home, he's got a 2.66 ERA this year and has allowed less average home runs at home. I'll just make it simple. He's only allowed 3 home runs in 10 starts at Busch Stadium this year, 2.66 ERA. On the road, the dude has got a 5.43 ERA and he's given up 14 home runs. The slugging percentage against Sonny Gray on the road this year, 10 starts, is over 500. Now, this is supposed to be your ace. You can't have an ace if he's only the ace at home, right? And then Miles Michaelis is just having a disastrous season. He is got the second worst ERA among starting pitchers in the majors, qualifying starting pitchers. And the other thing about him is in terms of strikeout rate, swing and miss rate, he obviously doesn't miss many bats. But Michaelis is next to last in those categories as well. He's still going to get the ball Friday when they open a series against the Dodgers. Sonny Gray at home, you got a chance. On the road, forget about it. Kyle Gibson's been what we thought. Listen, I think overall he's been fine. Lance Lynn got hurt, but before that, when that knee flared up, he had a couple good starts, but before that, wasn't very good at all. The best starting pitcher they've had since May 29th is Andre Pallante, because Andre Pallante, since May 29th, he's got the best ERA in that rotation. And the other thing about him compared to all these other guys, Pallante does not give up home runs. That's a fact. He doesn't. 0.4 per 9 innings is starting pitcher this year. That's amazing. That's really great. So what's going to happen when Lance Lynn comes back? You know what's going to happen. They're going to say, Andre, thank you, but you're out. You're out of the rotation for now. And I'm saying this in advance. That's going to drive me crazy, because what is the goal here? Are you trying to win or are you going to play payroll politics? The guy that should come out of the rotation is Michaelis, but they're paying him $18.5 million this year. They're going to pay him guaranteed $18.5 million next year. And that's what I mean by payroll politics. They won't use a better pitcher in that rotation. They'll take the much better pitcher and move him out because – well, we're paying Michaelis and we have to use him. I mean, I'm exasperated, but this is part of the new Cardinal way.